You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Joining us right now on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, going to talk a little bit about NFL free agency, going to talk a little bit about the NFL draft, and happy to have an expert on the line with us right now, Mike Renner, Pro Football Focus Senior Analyst. He's been with them since 2012, contributor to the Washington Post. Mike, John Murphy, Steve Tasker here in Buffalo. Thank you very much for joining us.
How you doing, Bill? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah.
You bet.
Hey, free agency just a couple of weeks away. I want to start with the Bills free agent signing from last year. You had a brief tweet last week about Star Lotulelei. Let me just read it. Star Lotulelei has 65 total pressures over the last four seasons. He's played 475 snaps last year despite being healthy. Turns 30 years old this year. Cannot feasibly be released till 2021 and has cap hits over $10 million the next four seasons. People lose their minds in free agency. You're saying the Bills lost their mind in their deal for Lotulelei? Is that right?
That is what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. It's obviously a little harsh when you read it out loud like that, but I think it's accurate. I think in today's day and age, paying that much for a nose tackle who's not going to affect the passing game, which is, you know, what is most important, which is the reason why the Bills had such a good defense last year, is because of what they did in terms of coverage and rushing the passer. I think that's just not where you should be investing your money. And I think they have a lot bigger needs, obviously, along the offensive side of the ball and you know, other positions defensively where that money could have been spent.
Yeah, well, it's interesting, too, because here's the thing. The Bills do rotate all their off defensive linemen through. They really felt it was important. You're right. I mean, nobody is ever going to have the sexy numbers from the defensive tackle spot that, say, an Aaron Donald has. And he's, I don't know, I can't think of another one who actually gets after the passer as well as even in that conversation. Really, defensive tackles aren't there, you're right, to affect the passing game. What they're really there to do is open it up for other guys to make plays. So it's hard to see spending, you know, $10 million a year on a guy like that. But by the same token, then I got to look at what that meant to the defense. And if you got a top five defense like the Bills have had in so many categories, I don't know. I kind of shrug my shoulders and say, well, they know what they're doing, and I'll let it slide. And certainly, they're getting some value at other spots.
Yeah, I mean, I think just because you have a top five defense, I think you're going to still objectively evaluate individual play along, you know, that defense. Just because, you know, the Chiefs had the best offense in the NFL this year doesn't mean their left guard is an all-pro. It doesn't mean he's worth the money they're paying him. I think you still have to look at each player and what they're bringing to the table. And yes, Lotulelei, you know, eats up double teams, and yes, that's a valuable sort of trait to have and someone who's selfless enough to do that. But there's a lot of guys who are selfless, and you don't have to pay them $10 million to eat up double teams all day.
One more question on this. We're not going to hammer you on this, Mike, because it's a valid point you make, but we were just talking about this in relation to Charles Clay, a former tight end that the Bills signed to an offer sheet, 4 years ago now. Now he's released. Most of the time, if not all the time in free agency, you overpay. You pay more than what the value might be for a player. Otherwise, you don't get him. He's not going to move. Isn't that right?
Yeah, I mean, by definition, if you are paying someone in free agency from another team, you will think they're worth more than that other team did to them. And they know, you know, they've have seen them more than you have. They probably have a good idea of what their real value is. So by that token, you're paying them more than the people who know him best think that he's worth. So you are usually overpaying, but I think there are times where when you have a roster that's, you know, close to competing, where it's good to start going after free agents using that, you know, excess cap space like the Bills have now with, you know, the roster talent that they have. That's when you start targeting players in free agency that fill, you know, bigger, like big needs. Obviously, they have a ton offensively, but guys that start and that could be there not just 1 or 2 years, but 3 or 4 years down the line.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, because a couple of years ago when Sean McDermott took over, and we were talking about this earlier in the show, they made a couple of signings that people were kind of raising their eyebrows at, not very big waves, and it was Micah Hyde and Jordan Poirier, two guys who have really transformed the secondary of the Bills' defense and did it really and was the engine that drove them to the playoffs 2 years ago. Those are kind of the, I would call them, middle-range free agents that really kind of do have a shot at giving you what you pay for. Are there any guys like that available at other positions around the league this year that maybe are going to be under-the-radar signings but may be those guys that do give you the rare free agent value?
Yeah, I think that is where free agency is at its best. When guys like Hyde and Poirier, who were not starters at their respective, you know, with the Packers and with the Browns, they were basically backups is why they didn't get valued by their respective franchises. And so you have, you see the talent there and you see the fit. And so I think that's where you can get the most impact for your dollar. The best, you know, use of your money can be at that, and guys to plug holes and that sort of thing. There's a handful, I'd say, in this class that I'd be targeting in that sort of range. You know, if you need a pass rusher, someone like Shaquille Barrett from the Denver Broncos, just because he was the starter there, got replaced by Bradley Chubb, but has always in our grading been effective. And so I think you'll go a little under the radar just because he only played a hand, you know, 270 or so snaps a season ago because he got replaced. But he got replaced by good players there. So I think I'd target him, someone like him in free agency on the offensive side of the ball. Someone like Tyrell Williams, if you really, I get that offense is going to be probably overpriced this offseason because there's so little talent at receiver, at running back, along the offensive line that's going to be available. But I think someone like Tyrell Williams, when he was the number one receiver there for the Chargers, put up over 1,000 yards. Obviously, Keenan Allen comes back, and he is the one eating up all the targets there. But I think Williams still offers a lot in terms of what he can bring to the table.
We're on the line with Mike Renner, Pro Football Focus senior analyst. The post you had last Friday on Pro Football Focus, Mike, dealt with the projection of where the top free agents might land when free agency opens up March 13th. And it seems to be a pretty good market in the free agency for pass rush guys, right? DeMarcus Lawrence and a couple of others, Dee Ford. Do you think all these guys are moving, or are they going to be staying where they are right now, do you think?
I think a handful end up staying in place. I can't see Jadeveon Clowney going anywhere other than Houston, obviously, because they have a lot of cap space, can just tag him easily. Dee Ford, similarly, in Kansas City, and I'd also say DeMarcus Lawrence. I don't see him going anywhere, but I do think there's a good chance someone like Trey Flowers, Darius Smith, Preston Smith, there's a handful on the market do make it to free agency, and this is the year to be needing defensive line talent, whether it's the draft or free agency. Both classes just seem loaded. If you need help, I think you'll be able to find it somewhere.
Frank Clark from Seattle, do you see him moving on somewhere?
I think he could. The interesting thing with him is that I'm not sure there's going to be a huge market for him, so I do think his price tag will be a little lower just because of, obviously, the domestic violence incident he had at Michigan. Some teams just don't even want to touch him. So I do think he could be a cheaper free agent, but I do think he's also a big need for the Seahawks. They can't afford, really, to let him go. So I don't really see a big franchise tag, but I think he probably ends up back in Seattle if I had to bet.
Yeah, and you also made a mention of Sheldon Richardson of the Jets being a free agent or maybe ending up on the Buffalo Bills roster if he's let's talk about Sheldon Richardson. How likely do you think it is he moves, and how likely is it that he ends up as a Buffalo Bill?
Well, the Vikings are a little cash-strapped after, you know, breaking the bank for Kirk Cousins, so I do think there's a good chance that they're not going to be able to train both him and Anthony Barr, so one of them for sure leaving, and I'm not sure who it's going to be, but I do think if it is Richardson, he's always teased this high-level talent when he was back with the Jets. He had some dominant years, went over to Seattle and then Minnesota the last couple of years, didn't quite, you know, advance in his career like we had hoped we'd see. You know, the natural progression of guys getting better as they go along, he kind of took a step back, but I do still think he's one of the better defensive tackles in the league, still very young. And obviously he's had his off-field issues as well. So another guy who probably won't get a huge contract compared to the talent that he's going to bring to the table.
Yeah, former Bills draft pick Ronald Darby, now with the Eagles, is now a free agent. You have him projected to the New York Jets. How do you see that working out for him there? What do you think?
Yeah, so I think Darby, he just basically has to go to a system that's a man-heavy sort of system. He was obviously the Bills thought he was expendable because his zone instincts, just his sort of read and react ability and that sort of off coverages is not up to snuff. That's not the system you want him playing in. That's why the Bills were happy to part ways with him, because he just would not have fit in that scheme. So I do think he has to go to somewhere that's going to have a ton of man principles. So that's why the Jets, obviously there's a handful of teams, Jets, Bills, Colts, that just have basically blank sort of checks to hand out this offseason with how much cap space they have. And Jets, you can't deny the need there at cornerback after we saw their play, even with Trumaine Johnson. So I think that would be a big need for them.
We had last week, we had a writer from Baltimore on our program, and when we mentioned Le'Veon Bell to Kadri Ishmael, his mouth was watering, and it seems like the entire Baltimore Ravens locker room would love to get Le'Veon Bell, not only for how it would hurt the Steelers to lose a good player, but also what he could do for their team. How likely is that landing spot for Le'Veon Bell in Baltimore?
I think it's one of the few teams that will be able to or be willing to actually pay him sort of the ballpark that he wants, because I don't think there's going to be a huge market for his talent. Just after sitting out a year at his age, how many touches he's had already, there's just too much risk involved in giving a guy a big contract like that at the running back position. But the Baltimore Ravens have gone as run-heavy as any team in modern football history with Lamar Jackson. They were running, you know, they were going to break. If he played the whole season, they would have broken the single-season rushing record for a team. That's just how frequently they were running the ball. And if you're all in on a strategy like that, all of a sudden running back position is a lot more valuable than it might be around the NFL today for other teams that are more pass-heavy. So I think he brings that to the table. Obviously something different than what they had in Gus Edwards and whatnot running the ball at the end of the year. So I do think that would be one team that would be a perfect fit for Bell's services.
We're with Mike Renner from Pro Football Focus. One more free agency question for you, Mike, before we move on to the draft. And that would be the Bills, as you mentioned. I think you just mentioned them as one of the teams with a ton of cash available to spend, a ton of cap room. Given the crop of free agents likely to be out there and given the Bills' needs, what would be the best possible free agency strategy for the Buffalo Bills in a couple of weeks?
I think the best strategy, truly, in my opinion, would be to try to sign multiple offensive linemen. I know that that's not a great class for playmakers offensively, and you need all the help you can give to Josh Allen, but I do think with his playing style, the way he, you know, makes plays with his leg, can make plays outside the pocket, you want to give him as good a protection as he possibly can. They did not have a great offensive line last year. Sign guys who are ready to contribute right away, guys who can impact next year's offensive line. Because if you go into the draft and you spend your first rounder or maybe a second or a third rounder on it, there's no guarantee those guys are going to be able to step in right away and pass protect for Josh Allen. If you get NFL-ready guys, guys who have proven it, all of a sudden, someone like Juwan James at right tackle, someone like, you know, Roger Saffold at guard, just guys who have been in the league, you know they're proven commodities, you know they're going to be upgrades, I think that's your best bet because you got to give him more help than they gave him last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, and as this free agents market starts to settle and it goes through its process, it gets right to the draft, and that sets these teams up where maybe they've addressed some of the needs they have and then can look at the draft in a different way. And you have, and in one of your mock drafts, you have the Buffalo Bills trading their first-round pick, which has been kind of a it's kind of the flavor of the week for people thinking about it a lot or for the Buffalo Bills. That number 9 spot where the Bills sit might be pretty attractive to a lot of teams that are drafting behind them.
Yeah, there's a number of reasons why I think it would make a ton of sense for the Bills to drop down from 9. And one of them is, obviously, you have the Redskins and the Dolphins sitting there in the teens right now, both desperately in need of quarterbacks, both want to jump someone like maybe Denver or even the Bengals to get up there and draft a quarterback, you know, get their guy sort of thing like the Bills did a season ago. So I think that, for one reason, is attractive. And two, it's just because, like I said, the Bills need offensive talent. They need someone to go around Josh Allen. And in this draft, it is a defensive-heavy draft. The value at skill positions, the value along the offensive line, is not going to be there with the 9th overall pick. It might be there with the 20th overall pick, but you know, you can get recoup them. So if you trade down to 20, you get some value out of it, get more picks, all of a sudden you can, you know, build even more talent around him. So I do think if you're just going to sit there and draft a wide receiver and offensive lineman at 9, that's not going to be nearly as valuable as if you traded down, drafted an off, you know, maybe an offensive lineman there, and then a wide receiver in the second or third round, whichever round you get a pick back from it. I think that'd be much better team building strategy than the top 10.
Mike, how much does Kyler Murray impact the Bills? I mean, if there's a quarterback needy team and the first 8 picks have been completed and Kyler Murray's is still out there on the board available to be drafted, the Bills could be in a pretty sweet spot right there, couldn't they?
Yeah, I think they have to be elated that Kyler Murray said he's playing football, just because I think someone will end up coveting him highly in the draft, and that just means a team's drafting, you know, a position that the Bills don't need, leaving the Bills probably a better player that they could need. So I do think they should be very happy about that, and that's who I had, I think, in my mock, them, someone trading up to go get.
Yeah, you had the Redskins trading up to get Kyler Murray. You had the Bills choosing a quarterback, Byron Murphy from Washington. What can you tell us about him if the Bills move down and take him later on in the first round?
So, again, like I said, there's just not a ton of skill position players in this draft worthy of taking top 10, top 15. And I think offensive line could be a possibility there, but at the same time, We saw how well Tre'Davious White worked out for the Bills, how much of an immediate impact a cornerback position can have, in my opinion, the second most valuable position after quarterback in the NFL today. And Byron Murphy has the best zone instincts of any cornerback in this draft. He is an incredible playmaker at making plays in off coverage, reading routes in front of him, and going and attacking the football, very much like Tre'Davious White was coming out. So you pair him with Tre'Davious White, you'll have 3 years of both of them on rookie contracts. That's just the makings of a dominant defense that's going to be a dominant defense for years to come. So I do think that if that's where you end up, I think that would be, you need all this help offensively, but you still got to go with the value, and I think the value would be there at the cornerback position if Byron Murphy is available.
And one of the things about this draft, you've got experts saying that they're, even though the quarterbacks in this draft are not high-level elite maybe guys or a lot of them, there still may be as many as four picked in the first round, and that means the draft order as it stands today is probably going to change drastically on draft day. And that means, I mean, let me just ask you, if a team is in the top 10, how many twos, how many threes? I mean, what kind of collateral do you get for a top 10 pick in a trade on draft day?
You get a lot. I mean, it is. So even trading back from, so we saw what the moves this season ago, even just the Bengals trading back from 11 to 21, they got a starting left tackle in the NFL. Right. They got Cordy Glenn. You know, that's a big piece that you can gain from just moving back 10 spots in the draft. And the Bills this year, they have even a higher pick than that. So if they want to move back to the 20s, you can get, you know, maybe even a next year's first round or something like that. We saw the Saints give up that to move from, what was it, 28 or so to 14 last year with the Packers. So I do think when you're in the top 10 in the draft, even a handful of positions, teams are willing to, you know, lose their minds, so to speak, and just give up a lot to go get their guy, especially at the quarterback position. So I do think that they're in a prime spot to get a lot of draft capital back.
Hey, Mike, this is a non-draft question, but something that came across on PFF. You guys do a great job grading players, units, teams all over the NFL. And we found it interesting that the Bills' defensive backfield, the secondary, was graded as a top 10 unit in 2018. Can you talk about that, the grades that were given, and maybe why you thought the secondary was so strong for Buffalo?
Yeah, I think it goes back to those two safety signings of Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer. Hyde's arguably a top five to top 10 safety at this point after what we've seen from him the last two seasons. They're both just perfect fit for that scheme in Buffalo. And Tre'Davious White has been basically everything and more for that secondary. He started tracking number one receivers this year more and more than he did as a rookie. And that's just so big for a defense when you have a guy who can track number one receivers. Because even if he doesn't completely shut them down, it all of a sudden gives your second cornerback an easier, job to do, having to track a number two receiver. And I think it just does so much for your defense when you don't have to worry about Tre'Davious White getting burnt deep. You don't have to worry about that. He's on his own, and everyone else can do their thing. So I think that just all around it's a very talented secondary at this point. They could even add more pieces to it. It could be taken to the next level of a sort of, Seahawks-esque run with how much young talent they have in it.
Yeah, and I agree with you, and I think it's not off the table for the Bills to continue to strengthen their secondary. Like you said, maybe take a corner opposite Tre'Davious White, but I think it all depends, like we've said earlier, on the free agent market. If they can fill some holes, which all these teams are trying to do, that only gives them the opportunity to strengthen an already strong position on their team. And that's really what everybody's watching.
Yeah, I think there is a number of holes. You want to go into the draft not targeting needs. You want to go into the draft basically with an open mind saying, if we get to XX, the next pick, and the best player is available, we take that best player regardless of position. You don't want to say we're pigeonholed into left guard or, defensive tackle, which position, just because that's how your roster was built. That's how you want to use free agency, is to basically open up your options for the draft. So I do think they should be players to start filling some holes to open up their options come draft time.
Mike, one last question for you. It comes from one of our Twitter followers, Little Bistro, who says, was he on The Bachelorette? You were. We talked about that a couple years ago with you, I believe, right?
I was, yes. Did not. I was definitely on that. We did get to play football on it, so I had to
perfect
show my chops.
Do you get asked about that every day or almost every day?
I get asked about it a lot. Okay?
Yeah.
When people find out, they're very intrigued by what it all entails.
Thanks for answering football questions from us today. We appreciate it, Mike.
For sure, you fellas. Thanks for having me.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.